Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm getting an update from Benchmark Metals, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol BNCH and on the OTCQX under the symbol BNCHF. I am chatting again with the president and director, Jim Gregg. Now, Benchmark Metals focused at the Lawyers Gold and Silver Project located in the Golden Horseshoe of Northern BC. The company just updated the resource on June 11th, and that's what we're going to be focusing on here. Resource increased 44% in the measured category and 77% in the indicated category here. Let's talk top line numbers. It's generally about 3.6 million ounces, most of that being in the indicated category of 3.14 million ounces of gold. That is grading on average about 1.45 grams per ton gold equivalent. The inferred aspect, 415,000 ounces. That's grading 2.63 grams per ton gold equivalent. Jim, start us off. What are some of the key takeaways in your eyes from this updated resource?
Yeah, this is a world-class resource. It's one of the highest grading, largest open-pittable new deposits in North America, a tier one jurisdiction where the miners now want to work. I think that the key takeaways, Corey, here is there's two things to really concentrate on. The fact that the resource is almost entirely in the measured and indicated category. That means we've de-risked the project. We've produced better quality gold and silver ounces. And this is a resource that we can now not only plug into the upcoming preliminary economic assessment, PEA, but it's also worthy of a feasibility study, which we're working on right now, and that will be produced in early 2023. But the second most important thing here is initial starter pits in these deposits. We have near 700,000 ounces total. That grades 1.74 grams, and has a very low strip ratio, a 2-to-1 strip ratio. All of these ounces are right at surface, and this will be mined in the early years in the PEA. So it should generate some very robust numbers with a lower strip and a higher grade of gold and silver. And, you know, the lower strip, really what that means is you're moving less waste material, and you're moving more ore, so it becomes more economic.
All right, let's talk about those starter pits then, because that is a new development within this updated resource. Again, these starter pits are both coming from the Cliffs Creek and Duke Ridge deposits, as well as that AGB deposit. That's where all these resources are focused. We'll obviously see how much that helps economics when the PEA and feasibility are released. But was this a surprising development for you, or is this more expected for the company?
No, this was expected, and this was entirely why the company kept drilling right through Christmas of last year and started up in January. We recognized that there was higher grade material right at surface, but we did not have enough drill density to show that in a resource. So we refocused last year in order to generate starter pits of higher grade material, and it generated this robust resource estimate.
Now, when it comes to strip ratios, we're seeing strip ratios for Cliff Creek and Duke Ridge at 5.6 to 1 and AGB 2.9 to 1. Does that mean there's a little bit more focus on that AGB deposit because of the lower strip?
Yeah, that's right. So, there's two starter pit areas that are of large quantity, but then mining would continue to, after the starter pit, to continue to remove all the material from AGB, and then the focus would go back over to Cliff Creek. But certainly, it's all about mining your best and higher quality material in the opening years, because that returns a quicker payback on the investment.
That also helps just overall economics. Again, something we'll see when that PEA is released. I do have to ask you, there was some new drilling at some of these other areas that didn't contribute to that initial resource, like the Marmot Zone. I'm not seeing any resources coming here. So what happened? Why were you not able to add some resources at that Marmot Zone?
Yeah, so Marmot is still one of our most compelling and advanced new discoveries. It simply requires more drilling. We did not have enough density in between drill holes to release additional resources at Marmot. But with more work over this next year and more drilling and improving the density in that area, there is real potential for a resource. Marmot has seen long intercepts of moderate grade material, but also, just like Cliff Creek, same style mineralization, some narrower high grade material. And it does have ounces right at surface. So it's a matter of focusing more drilling meters in the area to prove up a resource. Not so different than Cliff Creek and the rest of the deposits. I remember it's taken us almost 4 years to get to 3.6 million ounces. The same would be required at Marmot, a few years of dedicated drilling to prove up a resource. But 4 years is an enormous achievement for a world-class level of deposit.
Now, what will future drilling look like? I understand you still have these economic studies that are in the works, like the PEA and feasibility. Is there going to be any drilling later this year, early next year, to continue to grow this resource?
Yeah, so we, the drilling benchmark reform from January through to March supported this new resource estimate, and a small amount of the drilling also provided technical information that supports the feasibility study for next year. So the ongoing drill program that will continue through July and into September will serve two purposes: a small amount of expansion and a small amount of exploration drilling, but a large amount of technical drilling that goes towards the feasibility study. So it's a bit of multi-purpose drilling that should add some ounces, but also go towards proving that this is a mine site at the feasibility level.
Let's also talk cutoff grades. Cutoff grade that I'm seeing in more or less this global resource, 0.4 grams per ton gold equivalent. How has that changed from the initial resource? Why did you guys settle on that 0.4 number?
Yeah, so the cutoff grade dropped a little bit, but that helped us generate a little bit more economic ounces. So the grade has dropped slightly, but near 1.5 grams is still substantial for an open pit. In a feasibility or a PEA level of study, it is very likely the cutoff grade will drop more, and that allows for more mining of gold and silver. But from a resource point of view, we wanted to take a more conservative level just to show that there's good grade of quality gold and silver in open pittable fashion. Most companies, as they get towards these study works, often drop the cutoff grade within the studies simply because you can economically mine much lower grade material.
Okay, thanks for the update there. Let's talk about some of the economic studies that are coming up. PEA, we have talked a while about the PEA coming pretty shortly after this resource. Is that still on track?
It's still on track. Most of the work has been completed for the PEA. We have chosen site locations for tailings and waste and the mill and the mine site. We know our metallurgy already. We showed 93% recovery on the gold, which is quite exceptional. We know that this is a conventional flow sheet, so it's a standard reprocessing method at the mill. We've completed technical work for slope stability. The only thing that is missing from the PEA was this new resource. So from the resource, what our engineers do is they plan the mine schedule from year one right through to probably up to about 15 years of mine life on this current deposits and resource. And it's all about planning how much will be excavated through the 15-year period. So that's what's happening right now, mine planning and mine schedule.
Now, you also mentioned a feasibility study. Time frame on that then, please.
Yeah, it will be the first half of 2023. And the work that's ongoing for that includes condemnation drilling for the locations of the facilities. That includes waste, mill, and plant, including tailings. There'll be more pit slope stability analysis. There will be static work analysis. And by the way, this static work tells us if there's any acid generation or any deleterious matter. And 2D, it's benign material. And so what that tells us is any runoff water from any of the facilities is benign and has no environmental impact. So this is a very green upcycling of a formerly producing asset. Even the water that we see at site in the portal where there was old mining from 30 years ago is potable water. It's clean drinking water. So this is a good ESG project. We're simply recycling an old project and bringing it into production.
Now, Jim, the question being, are you guys going to bring this into production? When you get to a feasibility stage asset, then you are going to be faced with a construction decision. Also balancing out the fact that sounds like there's still a lot of exploration to do. Give us some insights on when you'll need to make a construction decision, what the path to that would be.
Yeah, so at and around the completion of the feasibility study is where we make a go-to mine decision and start the whole environmental impact assessment. It's at that point where we've got to look at the capital that's required to begin construction and the two-year permitting process. However, all of that work to go to a mine decision brings value and explicitly brings better value for a suitor who's looking you over. So we are indeed in the crosshairs of a takeover. I think Benchmark has real potential to be taken over by a mid-tier or a major company in the near future. But we will act like we are going to build a mine because that creates additional value for the company and shareholders.
Can you share with us some of the majors, some of the mid-tiers that are active or that you know are looking around the area in this Golden Horseshoe, Northern BC?
Yeah, I can't give names of any of the confidentiality agreement holders that we have. But I can say that Yamana Gold, which is now in a merger with Gold Fields, invested in the company in December. So there's some validity. Perhaps we're in their crosshairs. But other majors that are in northern British Columbia, Canada as a region includes Teck Mining, Newcrest Mining, Newmont, Freeport-McMoRan, and Centerra. All of these companies are actively working and looking in the region. So that gives you a taste of how the majors are moving into northern Canada. It's all about geopolitical risk now. You see companies moving away from the risky regions and moving back to North America because you can build a mine and you understand the rule of law and the permitting procedures.
All right, final point then, cash in the bank. Where does the company stand in terms of cash in the bank? Where are you expected to kind of end this year as you move forward with more of this technical work?
Yeah, we're sitting at just over about $10 million Canadian, and this should take us through the bulk of all the work necessary for 2022.
All right, Jim, thank you for the update. I'll post a link below this interview where everyone can read over that news release that outlines the updated resource estimate. If anybody has any follow-up questions, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. In full disclosure, I am a shareholder of Benchmark Metals. I'll follow up with Jim as some more news hits the market, especially on the back of that PEA coming just next quarter. Jim, thank you very much for your time. Please keep us up to date on future news.
Always a pleasure. Thank you, Corey.